Before we say a little about Daniel Roland, it would help us if we understood that the Reformation, which swept England and Scotland in the 1500s, left Wales largely untouched. The biblical faith was regarded as the faith of the English. It was un-Welsh. Even the Welsh language was a barrier. So while England had her reformers and Puritans, and Scotland had Knox and the Covenanters, Wales largely lay in spiritual death for 200 years. And then, in 1735, Daniel Roland and Howell Harris were converted, and the Spirit of God swept multiplied thousands of Welsh people into the kingdom in an astonishing awakening. Daniel Roland was born near Llangaitho in Cardiganshire in 1711. Like John Wesley, he had an early brush with death. When he was three, a large stone fell off the chimney, and it would have killed him if he'd not moved 2 minutes earlier. His father was an Anglican minister of Llangaitho, so this happened at the minister's house. We know that young Daniel went to Hereford Grammar School, but never went to university, and it was possibly the death of his father that ended his university hopes. In 1734, we have an account of him walking to and from London, specifically to be ordained in the Anglican Church. In 1735, we hear of him going to hear an evangelistic sermon by Anglican preacher Griffith Jones, more famous for his circulating schools in Wales. And in the middle of this message, the sneering, rebellious expression on the face of Roland caught Jones's eye, and he actually stopped in the middle of the sermon and said out loud, "Oh, for a word to reach your heart, young man." And then he publicly prayed for Roland, who was suitably furious for being picked out. But soon after, everybody noticed he came to saving faith in Christ. His preaching changed, and soon Llangaitho Church, which didn't have seats in it, by the way, was filled to suffocation. His early preaching was dominated by the law and violent attacks on sin. Some of the worldly friends he'd had before his conversion held cockfights on a Sunday. And he broke up one cockfight physically and denounced them. Not surprisingly, he got the name of the angry clergyman. A neighbouring minister, a Mr. Pugh, advised him to balance up his messages. "Start speaking about personal faith in the crucified Saviour," he said. And as a result, Roland started to preach a balanced message from the Bible. But what really distinguishes Daniel Roland is spiritual power. Now just imagine a stocky Welsh Anglican in his black gown and his two white neck tabs simply praying from the prayer book the litany sometime in the early 1740s and coming to the part where the minister says, "By thine agony and thy bloody sweat, good Lord, deliver us," when by the power of the Spirit, bringing repentance, the congregation breaks down and weeps. Many were so overcome by hearing this litany of what Christ had done that they actually fell on the floor of the church and cried out for mercy. Roland wrote about it to George Whitefield in 1743. He says, "There is such power given me in preaching that the Lord comes down amongst us in such a manner as words can give no idea of. The people cannot help crying and praising and adoring Jesus." So Whitefield went to see what was going on, and he wrote this: "At 7 in the morning, I have seen perhaps 10,000 people in the midst of the sermon crying, 'Glory!' and praise and ready to leap for joy. Howell Harris wrote to George Whitefield in March 1743 to describe what he'd witnessed among 3,000 people at Llangaitho. "The power that continues with Brother Roland is uncommon. Such crying out and heartbreaking groans, silent weeping and holy joy, and such shouts of rejoicing I never saw. Their amens and crying glory in the highest would inflame your soul if you were there. When he preaches, scores fall down by the power of the word, overcome by the love of God, admiring Jesus and free grace. They are worshipping a God they know and love and delight in. Others lie wounded on a sense of their piercing Jesus, so they can hardly bear it. Nature is overcome by enjoyment given to heaven-born souls. And when the word of God is over, some stay behind to sing, others stay to pray. A spiritual eye must see God is there." And the letter goes on. And I have to remind you that this man, Daniel Roland, was a five-point tulip Calvinist who did not believe that the charismatic gifts were restored to the church. Yet the unction of his preaching would at times so absorb his hearers that they would forget everything around them. There is one occasion when it is said he preached for about 6 or 7 hours, and that neither himself nor the people realized that the service was longer than usual. Of course, all this needs to be put into context. Revival was in progress. There was a tremendous sense of God's all-pervading presence. And students of revival tell us that it is a sovereign act of God which nobody can work up. The people at Llangaitho on Sundays were travelling up to 100 miles to be there. I even read of a party of 45 who came from Carnarvonshire sailing across Cardigan Bay in a boat to get there. And if it was Communion Sunday, which was once a month, numbers were swelled to about 5,000 people in this tiny Welsh village. Most people walked there. Others used horses, and there are descriptions of fields full of horses while the spiritually hungry descended on Llangaitho Church. And keep in mind that Roland's congregations stayed the same for 50 years. 50 years, Mark. Early on, Roland realized that there had to be follow-up for the numerous converts. So they were organized into societies, and the societies were welded into an association which met 4 times in a year. There's a well-known painting which shows George Whitefield as the moderator in 1743, and by him sits Daniel Roland. Later on, 100 of the ministers in that association testified that Roland was their spiritual father. Later on again, that association developed into the Synod of the Presbyterian Church. J.C. Ryle writes that when he first read about this story of what had happened under Daniel Roland's ministry, it simply took his breath away, and he could hardly believe it had happened. And yet, these scenes of intense spiritual enthusiasm and serious Christian discipleship carried on long after Roland died, aged 77, in 1790. As a matter of fact, the Great Welsh Awakening carried on right through until the dawn of the 20th century. When Daniel Roland died, it was with these words on his lips: "I die as a poor sinner, depending fully and entirely on the merits of the crucified Saviour for my acceptance with God." Well, revival may be a sovereign act of God, but believers, Christians, are at fault if they do not pray for such fresh outpourings of the Spirit and being too easily content with living in a day of small things. Let's at least learn that from Daniel Roland.